Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Today, two amazing things have happened. One, it's Robert Redford's 80th birthday, and two, I am checking another author off my bucket list. Queen of romance, the magnificent, the most wonderful writer, Susan Elizabeth Phillips, is with me today, whom I have just been loving ever since I was turned on to her books. She has a wonderful story about how she became a writer. I can't wait for you to hear it because it's so funny. We're going to talk to her about how she and her best friend decided to write a book. But in the meantime, we're going to talk to Susan about her brand new book that is just out, First Star, I Think, Tonight. Susan Elizabeth Phillips, thank you so much for being here. How are you today?
I am great. It's my pleasure. I love being called a queen. And for the rest of the interview, please address me as Your Majesty.
I shall do that. It would be my I'm at your service, Majesty.
I'm so glad my husband isn't here. His eyes would be rolling out of his head at this moment.
Well, I have to tell you, when you look at your website, the first picture that comes up, of course, is your new profile picture on your website with the grease paint under your eyes to signify
well,
the release of the book.
It's a book about football, so we had to go the whole way.
There is. It's not queenly, but as the queen, you are welcome to do whatever you want, right? And I did use your beautiful profile picture, though, your gorgeous picture of you sitting with your front to the back of a chair. I love that picture of you.
I just saw that picture on your website, and that was taken in many years ago. It's very flattering. I wish my face still looked like that. But, you know,
well,
things go south.
Look, you know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell me, how have you been? Congratulations on the new book. I think this book is so much fun. I love it. I love the characters. Can we talk about it?
Oh, I love talking about it. First Star I See Tonight is actually coming out on Tuesday, August 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it has been forever. I can't wait for readers to pick it up. Like all of my books, I like to combine humor and heart, and it's sexy, and I'm just super happy with it. In a nutshell, First Star I See Tonight, it centers on the hero is the retired former quarterback of the Chicago Stars, which is a fictional football team set in the Chicago area that I've written about a lot. And he is one of these guys who lives to win. He is a competitor through and through. The heroine is named Piper Dove, and she is the owner of a brand new detective agency. Her entire future depends on her first assignment, which is following Cooper Dove. It does not go well.
It does not go well. As a matter of fact, I love this story because she takes on another persona. And
yes,
all I can tell you is, from there on out, she's addressed as Esmeralda. You're going to love reading this book. Let's talk about Piper Dove. She's such a unique character. Not that you don't always create unique characters, but I kind of like her because she feels like a real, I mean, not a romance heroine. She feels like me. Do you know what I mean, Susan? She feels like
my heroines into the women that we want as our best friends so that they can always, you know, they have flaws, but their hearts are really pure. And Piper is a little different heroine for me because she's the first heroine I've had who has all of these, like, traditionally masculine skills. She is trained in martial arts. She's trained in offensive and defensive driving. She can shoot. And none of my heroines have had those before. But, of course, inside she has the same insecurities and emotional difficulties as a lot of women have. And also, she is a competitor, just like Cooper Graham is, which sets up just a really delicious conflict, at least in my mind it did. In a lot of romances, the hero and heroine meet, and they just immediately lust after each other. Not so much with these two. There's instant dislike because they each see the other as a formidable force, and they each are determined to win, come out on top.
Well, you know something? I think that's why I like this character so much. She's brutally honest with her failures. And,
yes.
You know, kind of glosses over her qualities and all that, and doesn't reveal all about herself. But the one thing that, you're right, that she's a classically different heroine than what you're used to writing, because she pretty much tells him, when he asks her if she's gay, she said, no, I wish. I understand that, because sometimes as a single woman, you think, oh, God, I go through all this again. It's so much easier if I would like women.
I know. Well, especially those of us who have really strong female friendships. They're so uncomplicated.
Yes.
I have one of my hobbies is I'm a hiker. And every year, my friend Helen and I leave our husbands on the golf course, and we head out on an adventure. Last year, we went on a safari in Zambia. The year before that, we were in Peru. The year before that, we were in Iceland. This year, we're going to Sicily. And one of the things we love about it, as much as we love our husbands, we just love being able to take off and not be responsible for anybody other than ourselves.
I love that. That's wonderful. You do have to get away. The extra Y chromosome is oftentimes quite annoying, I have to say. And I consider that, you know, it's a genetic defect. What can you do? Women learn to cope with it.
Well, and, you know, I have a husband I love. We've been married for, I don't know, 43 years or something like that. I've lost count. Two absolutely fabulous sons. And, I adore them. But I really, really cherish my girlfriends, too.
I know.
I think so
like
many women feel that way.
I do, too. And I wonder, Susan, I don't know how much you interact with the younger generation, like kids that are still in school. I find it very troubling that girls are not having girlfriends. They don't have that same thing that, you know, you person you grew up with is your best friend, your girlfriend that you've known forever, and you keep in touch with them. I find that distressing at times, that they
turn on each other. Some of that might just be genetic, because I certainly know when I was in school, I was not thinking about my female friendships. I was kind of taking them for granted. It was all about men, boys at that point. And I think as women get older, they really learn to treasure their female friendships in ways they don't when they're in their biological kind of hunting years.
And that may be true. Maybe that's what it is. It's just, you know, I know they say teenagers, that it's like some warped mutation of a human being at that time, so who knows? Bless them. Let's talk about books. What are you reading now?
What am I reading now? Oh, I just started a copy of Christina Dodd's new book. Oh, my gosh, I just forgot the title. She's going to kill me. It doesn't come out for a couple more weeks. It's a thriller.
Uh-huh.
And I read a lot. So I actually have had to, right before I'm getting ready to go on book tour, I have to remind myself what I've read, because, you know, when people ask you that, you've read so much. This book I want you to put on your recommended list. It is a book called The Fifth Letter. It's not out yet. It's by an author named Nicola Moriarty, who is a sister of the fabulous Leanne Moriarty. The book is called The
Nicola
Fifth Letter.
Nicola
Moriarty. Yeah, and I don't actually know. I don't know if I've got a publication date on this book. I've got actually the
advance. That's okay. I can look it up.
It's not coming out until January. Anyway, I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read Jean Ray's books? Jean Ray is the mother of Ann Patchett.
Although I've heard of, tell me about her books.
Oh, I've just read one of hers, and it was a couple of years ago, called Eat Cake. They're sweet books with older characters.
I love that.
it was not, she didn't do it, the book wasn't called Romeo, Juliet and Romeo, but it was something like that. It was a title like that. Anyway, Jean Ray, wonderful. In terms of romance, I'm reading through Sarah McLean's backlist now. Have
you
read
really?
Sarah McLean?
That's interesting.
Oh, you
have
to talk
indeed.
To her. You have
I'll
to
shall.
Talk to
I'll
her.
Let her know.
I will. One of the things I love about Sarah, in addition to the fact that she's a wonderful historical romance writer, is she knows the history and scholarship of the genre in ways that most younger writers don't know. She actually has a webpage dedicated to acquainting younger readers with the classic historical romances, and by that I mean the ones from like the 70s, the 80s, even the 90s. She's phenomenal.
Wow.
And Kristen Higgins, that's another romance
writer. Of course.
I love
She's
reading.
A doll baby. I love that
wonderful.
Woman.
Yeah.
I love that woman. She's so funny. She's been on, and we were just chatting not too long ago, and I said, well, it's time for you to come back. So I love her. I'd love for her to come back. I noticed that Rachel Gibson came back. She has a new book out.
Yes,
haven't
seen
her for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just picked it up, and it's probably, I don't know, you should see this place. I have a small apartment, but it's covered in books. There's not a surface that doesn't have books. Books are cats. So I have her. I just picked up her book. I'm reading that. I'm reading yours, and I'm also reading a thriller. And I'm doing a beta read for someone. So, you know, I'm busy, too. I love reading cross-genre. Do you?
I do. And actually, the literary read, and I put literary in quotes. Read means something that's going to be horribly depressing, which I, you know, my motto is life's too short to read depressing books. But a book that is, I consider a literary kind of crossover sort of book, is called Kitchens of the Great Midwest. Have you read it yet?
No, I have not. I have not even heard it. I'm surprised I haven't seen that. I'm in NetGalley. I'm auto approved everywhere, so I'm surprised I haven't.
Yeah, I think it's been out for a while. It's called Kitchens of the Great Midwest, and of course the author's name is actually a man who's written it. And because I'm a Midwesterner, I resonated with the book on that level. But it's structured very much like Olive Kitteridge, where you have, and that was a
really
book beautifully done, but it's a book I didn't connect with as well as I did with this one, where you have at the beginning a character's introduced, and in some of the sections the character's kind of a background character, and others they hardly ever appear. You know. Anyway, I loved Kitchens of the Great Midwest, so that's my literary read that I'm happy about. And I always love reading Eloisa James, Jane Ann Crane, Kristen Hannah, oh my gosh. She is amazing.
Now, she blurbed your book. Of course she did. She said, Queen Susan Elizabeth Phillips is at her very best. So did you notice I didn't forget that, Your Majesty? I did remember that. But then, of course, Robin Carr also blurbed.
Oh, and Robin
Coulter.
Book. Yep, yep.
Yes. Robin has a new book out, doesn't she?
Robin always has a new book out. If she weren't a friend, I'd want to slap her, honest to Pete. She is not only amazingly prolific, but she puts every book has its quality. It doesn't feel rushed.
It is.
She is just
it
amazing.
Is. It
just,
is. It's one of the largest sections in the bookstore, too. So when you go for Robin,
she and Nora Roberts,
you just You just say, go right there, you'll see it. It's a whole shelf or four.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So Linda Howard and Jane Ann Krenz and Susan Mallory, of course, has been on here. And, of course, I love what Kirkus says. This is an essential summer read. It truly, well, to me, all your books are essential.
I've been the reviews on the book I've just been so fortunate with them. I mean, I think the reviewers have really gotten the book. They understand that they're in for a fun ride. And, I've just been very, very grateful for the reviews, the advance reviews on the book. Now we just have to make sure the readers will agree with the reviewers, right?
I don't think you're going to have any problem whatsoever, at least not from this reader. I want to ask you a couple of things. One of them is you have a very, it actually made me cry. Your dedication is in memory to someone. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Oh, we sure can. One of my longtime writing friends is Kathy Linz. She also wrote Paranormals under the name of Kat Devon. And we lost Kathy just a little over a year ago to colon cancer. It was a very, very difficult time on so many levels because Kathy had not had a colonoscopy. And we had kind of urged her to do this, and she hadn't done it because she was afraid of the procedure. And so we had this, those of us who are, you know, writer friends of Kathy's, you know, we love her so much. We were frustrated. We were angry. We were just sad. It, you know, we had this feeling that it didn't have to be that way. I talked to Kathy in my head constantly. We used to email back and forth as we were writing. If we wrote a sentence or a couple sentences that we liked, we'd send them to the other one during the day. And
wow.
I missed that so much. I actually, after she died, there was a while I was just sending little things to her email address just because I missed her.
May
so
I read
that was difficult. Yeah.
May I read this?
Oh, yes, you
mind
sure
if I read
may.
It? Okay.
Not at all.
This is in memory of Kathy Linz, lover of cats, the Beatles, red boots, birthdays, librarians, friends, and good books. As Paul sang, you and I have memories longer than the road that stretches out ahead. Thank you for the enthusiasm and the endless encouragement you gave your fellow writers. And from those closest to you, most of all, we thank you for giving us D.
Yeah.
Okay.
That talk about a women's friendship story. Dee, who lives in Alaska now, she's a retired kindergarten teacher, she and Kathy had been friends since Kathy was 4, I think, and Dee was 5. Lifelong friends. And it took a while. It was a long time before we even met Dee because we had to wait until she was visiting. But Dee cared for Kathy at the end and became one of our dearest friends. Actually, I took Dee with me when I went on safari in Africa. So that friendship has been passed on to us so that even with Kathy gone, she's just left us so many gifts. And she's another writer. Kathy's books were, there's always humor in them. I mean, she would come up with some great lines that would just have you laughing.
I bet. You know, it is a testament to the type of stories that you tell that all of your books have strong female friendships in there. There is never a book, I don't remember reading a book of yours that did not involve friendship. And it's very interesting to me because you started off your writing career with another best friend, didn't you?
I did. I started writing in the late 70s. My friend Claire and I, we were living in New Jersey at that point, and she lived 2 doors down the street. We were both home with very young children. We were both big readers and got hooked on the historical romances that appeared in the late 70s. And one day, I had lent Claire a book, a historical romance that was not well done. And she came back to me, and she said, "This is the worst book I've ever read. We can do better than this. We're going to write a book." I just laughed at her. But a couple nights later, we were plotting the thing out. So while we were home with these small children, we wrote a historical romance, not ever having written anything in our life. You want to talk about flaws in a book? And we got about a third of it done, and a publisher, Dell Publishing, bought it, which they bought it within 2 weeks of the time they got it. They paid
you
us.
You have to tell the full story about how you got it. Just you kind of just called random, didn't you?
Well,
you got the phone
little,
number of this editor.
It was a little more complicated than that. The full story is actually on my website at SusanElizabethPhillips.com. But we had the name of an editor who didn't really want to talk to us and was just doing a favor for a friend and said, "Well, okay, you can send me what you have." and then ended up calling and buying the book. Here's the thing that I thought, one of the things that amuses me about this experience is we sold that book to Dell Publishing for an advance of $3,500. It took us 2 years, 2.5 years to write it, and we had to split the money in two.
Oh, dear. What book was that, by the way?
It was called The Copeland Bride. It is out of print. You know, I could put it up digitally, but it just takes so much work because, it was a labor of love. It is a quite passionate and emotional, but there's some problems in the craft of the book that I'd have to correct before I could put it out again.
You'd have to explain too, right?
Well,
whose name went on the book, or how did you title it?
Justine Cole was the name we put on the book, only because Claire got really pissy and wouldn't let me name us Chastity Savage. So that was my only book in collaboration. But Claire then went on. She and her husband ended up moving. She went to law school. So from then on, I had to write a book by myself, and it's never been as much fun as it was writing that first book in collaboration.
What a great story. It is awesomely a great story. It truly is. And you were right. You know, the website is wonderful, SusanElizabethPhillips.com. You've got to go there because life is too short to read depressing books. I love that. You have a very reader-centric page. You have fan freebies. You have books and fun stuff and extras. And all your books are right there on the front cover, so you don't have to go scrolling through pages and pages and pages of stuff that you don't really care about. I want to just see your books.
Well,
it's a wonderful page.
I love being able to interact with readers, and so I am on Facebook a lot. On Facebook, I probably post maybe twice a day, and it's a great place to interact with readers. Right now, actually, I think now I've got a post up about sexuality in books. How much is too much? And I just love hearing what readers have to say and interacting with them. Sometimes I just complain about my bad hair day. It's random. Sometimes I talk about books. But with Facebook and with social media in general, I'm able to interact with readers all over the world. My books are published in over 30 languages now. So especially with Facebook, but also with Twitter and Instagram, being able to connect with them is just so precious. I really love being able to do it. And in terms of international readers, I've been able to do 4 different tours internationally. I've toured in Germany a couple of times because that's a huge readership for me.
Huge reading market up there.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness gracious. They love their books.
They do.
They love their books.
Also, Spain is a big market for me. I've toured in Spain, in Croatia, in Slovenia. The romance novels, the good romance novels, the ones that are kind of at the heart of the genre, they are very international in feeling, even though they may be set in small town America or follow an American football team. It's the emotion and the characters that international, that women everywhere respond to.
Do you, when you're thinking of your book, the next book, let's say, do you have the story in your mind first, or do you have the characters that you plug into a story?
I have almost nothing when I start a book. Sometimes I have a premise or a character in mind. For example, I wrote a book called Match Me If You Can, which is a Chicago Stars mm-hmm. book. The hero is a sports agent, and the heroine is a matchmaker with this tiny little matchmaking agency that she's inherited from her grandmother. And he's a big-time kind of sports agent. So they were a fun couple. And early in this book, a character appears the star quarterback named Dean Robillard, and he marches into this book with like dyed blonde hair, diamond studs in his in each earlobe, a jacket tossed over his shoulders. I mean, ridiculous, right? But he, I got such a kick out of him, and I realized there was more to him than the bleached hair and the diamond ear studs. So at that point, I knew I was going to write a book about him, but all I had was character. I didn't have anything else. I had to figure out heroine and story and all that. So I never know what I've got to start with. I just wish, usually I wish I had a little more to start with, because the actual writing process is always a process of exploration for me.
You know, I heard this question the other night, and I thought it was so such a good question. I'm looking at all the awards that you've received over your career, including the Lifetime Achievement Award from RWA. You've been inducted into RWA Hall of Fame, and you're a pioneer, the Romantic Times Pioneer Award. Every single book has been, and Natural Born Charmer has gotten so many wonderful, wonderful awards and notifications and everything else. So much notice on all of your books. Would you rather have really great reviews and win these wonderful accolades, or would you rather people buy your books?
I would always rather have people buy my books. I think any writer would. But I want the books to be of sufficient quality that people would think of them in terms of awards. You know what I mean? I mean, that sounds like an
absolutely
odd thing to do.
Awards, it sounds right.
Well, the awards, you know, I'm certainly happy to get them. It's nice to have. But that is not nearly as meaningful to me as having readers talk to me about what the books actually mean to them. So, I you know, I'm really proud of the books. It takes me a long time to write a book. You know, some writers can write them in a few months. It takes me a couple of years. But by the time my book leaves my office, it's really the best I can be. It's something I'm just really happy to stand behind. It may not be to everybody's taste, and that's fine. But it's something that I'm really proud of and I feel good about. I know I've given it my best.
Oh, wonderful. I love that. I love that. You know, I'm sure that you get asked all the time to give writing advice. And I also know it's difficult to give writing advice.
Oh, not for me. I love giving advice.
Good. Because I want to ask you two things. The first one is, what's the best piece of advice you ever got? And what's the best piece of advice you want to impart? And are they the same?
Let me just say, by the way, that I have writing tips up on my website. The number one tip I have is write. People talk about it. They talk about it. They don't do it. If only I had time, I would write. Or they go to take a lot of writing classes, but they never actually sit down and write anything. It's not an assignment. So the first thing is, you have to put yourself in a chair and you have to write. Taking workshops, even joining Romance Writers of America, which is a fabulous organization, super helpful, but answering email, none of that is actually putting pages into a manuscript. So that's my number one piece of advice. Do it, and recognize that it's not always going to be easy. In terms of advice for me, it wasn't somebody giving me specific advice. It was having this wonderful circle of writer friends helped me realize, after I don't know how many books, how hard it was for everybody, that it wasn't just me who's having a hard time, that everybody recognizes career writers, writing is hard. Because I just thought it was me. I thought it was somehow magically easier for other writers than it was for me. That was a huge revelation to me. I have this phrase now when people sometimes writers will act like they're giving me this deep and dark confession when they tell me that they don't feel like they're a real writer and how hard it is. And I love looking at them and saying, "You're not special."
There you go.
We all feel that way.
How important are reviews to you?
Reviews are important in terms of my ego. If I get a good review, it makes me feel good. It's nice to have, you know, we just have had wonderful reviews on this book, and it's lovely to have them and be able to, you know, post them to promote the book. But ultimately, I don't know that readers pay a lot of attention to them. I think it's more for the ego of the author, because who wants to have to look at reviews that say, this book sucks?
Right.
So it's more for your ego. That said, with the internet, readers can post anything they want, and you are going to get negative
reviews.
And they do.
They do.
Some of them are thoughtful negative reviews, and some of them are just idiotic. You want to say, did you actually read this
They're
book?
Trolls. Right.
Yeah. So I have to kind of stay away from that, because the bottom line is I'm going to write what I'm going to write. I'm going to write the kind of Susan Elizabeth Phillips book that I know how to write. Some people will love it. Some people won't care at all. Some people will hate it. That's the way it is with any book. So you kind of have to put on your big girl pants and deal with that.
Have you ever gotten, and I can't imagine this happened, but have you ever gotten or have you ever seen an author who has gotten reviews that are consistently, say, 3 stars, and they're saying, this is where, you know, the wheels came off the cart. Can a review be a learning lesson, I guess is what I want to ask you.
I suppose it could be, but that's kind of an editor's job. It's your beta reader's job. You know, yes, I suppose they could be, but it's so difficult. Most reviews, I find negative comments. When I find negative comments about my book, they're not consistent. So many reviews, you're bringing the reviewers personal experience. I think about some magnificent novels that I've just hated. And the books are amazing. They're beautifully written. They resonate with a lot of readers, but they don't personally resonate with me. Does that make it a bad book?
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right. I agree with you on that. It's interesting that, and because I read, I'm like you, I read cross genre. I do look at reviews, I will tell you, but I don't look at the first 100 reviews because I think that's real easy to get to. And of course, you know, the first 10 might be all friends and family and all. But I do look at books that have a spectacularly high number of reviews, and I look to see what they're saying, and I look at percentages. I look at the Amazon author page. Isn't that interesting? The things I look at, because I'm looking for information to see if this is someone who is taking themselves as a serious writer. I want to know if they, you know, if they've even put up an author page. There are many times publicists will ask me to interview someone, and I say, they don't have an Amazon page, an Amazon author page. I don't even know what they look like.
Yeah,
I don't know anything
strange about
this person.
Right, yeah.
Isn't it odd? Yeah. So
yeah.
It seems like the real simple thing, you know, and we have 15 shows in this network, and I'm the executive producer. I need to know who all these authors are. This is a cross genre. These are authors that I'm not going to read necessarily, but I don't understand that. I think if you're going to take it seriously, you have to really take it seriously.
Well, you know, there's
everywhere.
The writing of books, and there's the business of writing. And the downside is now, with social media the way it is, it can take up much more time than the writing. I mean, like making sure your author Amazon author page is always updated, that Goodreads is updated, that your website is updated, that you're posting a couple times a day on Facebook, that you're tweeting. Those things take up so much time that's all a suck from writing time. So it's interesting. I will look at reviews as a reader just to make sure I'm not getting a book that I'm going to want to kill myself after I read it. So I do.
Because
I do
everybody can't be wrong. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If I can tell that it's going to be a super depressing read. I just, you know, when I was in my 20s, I loved books like that. Now, not so much. So I will use reviews like that, but I'll look at reviews of books I absolutely adored, and some of the reviews posted are so negative, I'm thinking, did you even read this book? Or here's the one that gets me. You got me off on a tangent here. The reviews
That's
where
okay.
they say, this is really a badly done book. I really hated it. I read it in one day because I had to find out what the end was. Well, you know, if you're turning the pages that fast, it's not probably going to be a bad book.
It's true. It's true. I am particularly fond of the people who say, I didn't like the fact that there was sex in this book, and I'm thinking, well, there's going to be sex in the book.
You
or
know,
there was cursing in this book, and I'm thinking, you're in the wrong section.
That's interesting you could bring it up. I just got an email from a reader yesterday saying she wanted me to put out two versions of every book, one that has all the love scenes in it, but then one that I would take it out and make it, you know, G-rated, which I would never do. I mean, my books are, I'd like to pretend that they're super, super hot, but in fact, compared to so much that's coming out now, I feel like they're tame. But when I write a love scene or a sex scene, it's intrinsic to the action of the book, to the characters. A lot of times they're funny. I would never, ever do that. But what was interesting to me is I cannot remember. It might be 2 years since I've gotten an email about too much sex in my books.
Your books are not – they're sexy and they're sassy. And, you know, I'm comfortable reading whether it's very graphic, whether it's middle of the road, or there's none at all, because I have a great imagination. But I don't recall that your books
they're
are
not,
graphic in any way.
They're not that graphic.
Yeah,
not
at all.
I guess 20 years ago they were considered very, very graphic. I will get I don't get emails. This was just so odd to get an email about the sex in the books. What I will get an email on is some of my readers really don't like it if a character takes the Lord's name in vain or if there's too much profanity. And I don't actually like it as a reader either. On the other hand, if I'm writing about a bunch of football players, I'm going to be true to those characters, and they're not going to be saying,
sure.
Oh, gosh darn it. So whatever
right, they're not
the
sitting with the queen having tea. Right,
yeah.
Right. I understand that.
But I do understand reader sensitivity on that issue.
You know, when I see books that say this is very explicit, it should not be read by anyone under 18, I'm grateful for those little disclaimers because even in our radio shows and throughout the network, we're not FCC, you know, regulated. They
mm-hmm.
can say whatever they want. And trust me, some of the hard crime fiction writers do. And I don't censor anybody. The only thing I censor is hate speech on my Facebook page. I don't tolerate that. But you know, when someone's talking, that's their creative person speaking. I just always mark the show, you know, it's like PG-13 or, you know, R-rated.
Be true to what you're doing. Be true to the character. Be true to the plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I have to once again congratulate you on First Star I See Tonight, which is actually going to be released
August 23rd,
next
Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
There
August
you
23rd.
Go. Tuesday.
And I'm going to be
Susan,
on tour visiting readers.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that.
In the Chicago area, next week I'm going to be in Dayton and St. Louis. And I'm going to be in Lexington, Kentucky. I think I'm going to be in Louisville. The whole tour schedule is on my web page, and it's going to be. These are fun events. This is not sitting there and listening to me read for 20 minutes. We're going to be doing trivia quizzes. I'll be gossiping about my friends. I have no filter left, so they'll be fun.
There, at this point, you don't. Now, you're going to be at Anderson's in Naperville, and I know a ton of people in Naperville, and they have a really strong reading community there, so that's going to be fun. And then you're going to Books and Company in Dayton, Ohio, and then you're going to be in St. Louis, Missouri at the library, the headquarters, the main library, so that's going to be fun for you. On September 7th, the day after I have my new hit put in, you're going to be at Schuler Books in Lansing, Michigan. I'll be
wonderful
cheering you
store.
On from a hospital bed. And then you're going to, I love this, on Thursday, September 8th in Comstock Park, Michigan, you're doing literary libations, cocktail hour, and sit-down dinner at the Kent District Library. And I would imagine that's a ticketed event. And if you go to Susan's website, you're going to see that. And then after that, you'll be in, you're doing all the Midwest. You're like a presidential, well, you're the queen. So, of course, you get to go. Des Moines, Iowa, at the Des Moines Public Library, the Franklin Avenue branch. And then you jump around, and you don't go out again until November, when you'll be in Bowling Green, Kentucky at the Warren County Public Library. How fun is that?
Yeah,
and then back
yeah.
to Cincinnati, and then Cleveland, and that finishes up that leg of your tour.
Yeah.
But I know you're also I know that you have lots and lots of fans who are going to be following you. I cannot thank you enough for the gift of this appearance today.
Thank you, Pam, and good luck with your new hip.
Oh, gosh, you know, isn't it going to be great? I'm going to be setting off metal detectors like crazy. I'll have matching hips. You know, I told you, they say the body's not worth anything. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have two $40,000 hips. You know, I had to write to my brothers and tell them, because there was a really funny article that someone sent to me that said, you know, if you have cremation, you know, now with all these appliances that we're putting inside people, you know, what do the crematories do when they have hips and legs, you know, knees and shoulders and all that? So I sent the article to my brother. My brother's, one of them is an attorney, and the other one is just, I don't know, was raised by Indians or something. I'm not sure how he fits in the family. But anyway, I sent the article to him, and I said, listen, my best friends are eBay and Amazon retailers. Make sure after I go through the crematory that you take those damn parts out and you sell them on eBay. My
Good
brother was so
you.
Horrified that I said that. He was horrified. He said, well, are you crazy? I'm not touching any of that. And I'm thinking, what a sucker.
Oh, you're lost, right?
Listen, I'm a character, okay? This is why I love Piper Dove, because she is just fabulous. As are you, Queen Susan Elizabeth.
Thank you, Pam. Bye-bye.
Have fun on your tour.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
And that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Susan is wonderful. You all have a really great day. Thank you for listening in. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Bye.